Now, after a short break, we're going to continue our series on the Ten Commandments. We stopped at an appropriate place with a few different things happening over the past few weeks from visiting speakers. But we say we stopped at an appropriate place because if you take the Ten Commandments, you can split them into two groups. That's how Jesus Christ himself summarized it in the New Testament. The commandments can be summarized by loving God, loving him with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and then loving our neighbor as ourselves. And so the first four commandments, the first four that we've taken time to look through on Sunday mornings, focus on that first section of our love for God. So we have no other gods, and we have no other worship. We don't worship idols, and we don't take the Lord's name in vain, and we keep the Sabbath day holy. And now we move into the second section. It's all about loving others. And the one we're going to look at this morning, commandment number 5, starts closest to home. And let's read it together. It's only one verse. It's very short. It's very simple. So I'm going to put it up on the screen here this morning. But Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 says these words. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and your mother. On one level, it's very simple. It's a very simplistic commandment. And so we have a very simple, simplistic point as we work our way through this. Here's the first point this morning. Parents must be honored. Something we see as we work our way throughout the Bible is we see God's desire for his people, for his children, to respect and honor those who have been placed in authority over them. We see that in different places. So we respect the authority of those in the family circumstances. We see, we're told as God's people, to respect the authority of those in a church context, and we also respect the authority of those in society, those rulers, those in power over us. And it's our duty as Christians, it's our duty as children, to honor and to respect and to obey those with God-given authority over us, our parents. Now, what you notice, if we come back to this commandment here, it says, honor your father and your mother. That was radical for the ancient world. No other culture put mother and father on the same level. In the ancient world, fathers were to be honored, fathers were to be respected. But here God speaks to his children, and he says, honor your father and your mother. He puts them on the same par. But also, if we go back to this commandment, we notice that it's a commandment with a promise. It's the only of one of the Ten Commandments that comes with a promise. Let's read it again. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. God seems to be giving a special encouragement to his children to keep this commandment. There's a special significance for the children of Israel. They've just left the land of Egypt. They've left the land of slavery. They've been under somebody else's authority. And they're on a journey. They're at Mount Sinai at this point when God gives them the Ten Commandments. But they're on a journey heading towards the Promised Land. And God has told them that life will be different once you enter the Promised Land. And one way to ensure that you keep living in the Promised Land is that you honor your father and your mother. Now, it's important to know really what this phrase means. There's an expression there, to live long in the land. That's actually a Hebrew phrase. It's a Hebrew expression. And it really refers to the fullness of God's blessing. If you live long in the land, you're experiencing the fullness of God's blessing. What's God saying to the children of Israel here? If you want to experience life, if you want to experience life in all the fullness of its blessing, if you want to experience life as I have planned for you, then honor your father and honor your mother as well. It all sounds very straightforward and simple, doesn't it? But it's a difficult commandment to keep. Which one of us has always faithfully kept that commandment? Which one of us could put our hand up and say, we have never, ever broken that commandment? We've all broken it countless times. Do you know why we've broken it? Because we are all sinful people. So the Bible teaches us. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. Let's think about when sin entered into the world. What happened there? Adam and Eve had rebellion in their heart. Who were they rebelling against in the garden? They were rebelling against God. They were rebelling against God's authority. They were rejecting the commandment that he had given to them and the instructions about what they could eat and what they couldn't in the Garden of Eden. What was the desire? What was the temptation that Satan gave to them? You will be like God. You will have your own authority. You can tell yourself what to do. You will be your own God. And so what happens there as sin enters into the world? Adam and Eve disobey authority. They don't honor the authority they've been placed under, and they go and do their own thing. And as descendants of Adam and Eve, we all share their sinful nature. And because of that, you know what we are? We're all rebels at heart. We rebel against authority. Don't tell me what to do. Now, you might be one of those people, you go into school or in the workplace, you always do what you're commanded to do. But deep down inside of us, there's rebellion. We don't like others telling us what to do. And God says something very different. God gives a command to his people, to his children, and he says, live in a different way. God says, parents must be honored. Now, there's different implications of this commandment, and there's different implications for different groups of people. So here this morning, we've got different kinds of people. We've got some children here in the service. We've got some teenagers. You've got people like me who have left the family home and left it many years ago. There's people maybe whose parents have passed away. And so there's different implications, there's different applications here to different kinds of people. But let's start with the most obvious group of people when we come to the fifth commandment. Let's start with the children who are sitting here in our service. Let's start with our young people, those who still live in the family home, those who still come under the authority of their parents. If that's you this morning, if that describes you, God wants you to honor your father and your mother. Now, for most children, for most teenagers, breaking the fifth commandment is just part of your job. Or that's what you think. You know, rebellion, disobedience, that just comes with being young, with being youthful. God says parents must be honored. Do you call yourself a Christian here this morning? You might be one of our young people. You might be one of the children who hasn't going out to CB Kids Sunday. If you call yourself a Christian here this morning, God calls you to live in a different way. God calls you to live in a way that is countercultural, completely different from the attitudes in our culture and society. God calls you to live in a different way, and it starts in the home that you live in. God calls you to honor your parents. Your parents are constantly giving things to you. And so this morning I want to speak to you specifically. And I want to encourage you to give your parents three different kinds of things. Here's the first thing. I encourage you to give your parents respect. Respect them. Respect them by obeying them in the things that they ask you to do. Respect them by listening to them. Honor them. Honor your parents in your speech. So as you speak to your parents, speak in a way that honors them. As you speak about them outside the home to your peers and your friends, honor your parents. Don't be running them down in public. Don't be criticizing them. It's very easy just to, oh, my parents, you won't believe what they've done. No, honor your parents in your speech, in the home and outside the home as well. Honor your parents in your behavior, the way you conduct yourself. Honor your parents with your body language. The rolling eyes, the shrug of the shoulders. Does that bring honor to your parents? You see, there's no point telling other people outside the home that you're a Christian. Going into school or university and say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And then going into the home and living like a heathen. That's hypocritical. And so if you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, that starts at home. And so honor your parents by giving them respect. The second thing you can give them is give them thanks. One of the marks of a Christian is thankfulness. Now, most parents, I know there are exceptions here, but most parents do so much for us. I wonder, as a child or even as a teenager, do you ever give thanks to your parents for what they do for you, how they care for you, how they love you? Do you ever thank God for them? So in your prayers, do you ever give thanks for your parents? Or do you ever go up to them face to face and say, I want to thank you for what you've done for me? give them thanks. And then thirdly, give them grace. I'm sure you've realized there is no perfect parent. And when you grow up and have children of your own, if you ever have children, you will not be the perfect parent. Parents mess up all the time. Isn't that right, Josie? She's nodding her head. We mess up all the time. Do you know why we mess up all the time? Because we are sinful people as well. And we have sinful hearts. But if you're a Christian young person or child, Christians should be marked by grace and forgiveness and patience, even for your parents. Instead of moaning about them, I wonder if you ever prayed for your parents? I wonder if you ever prayed that God would help them in the role of having authority over you, of being your parent and that responsibility of bringing up. Have you ever prayed for your parents? Do you forgive them when they do something wrong in their role as parents and they seek forgiveness? Give your parents grace. That's a mark of being a Christian. Perhaps you're sitting there at the moment and you've been challenged by some of the practical things I've said there. Perhaps you need to confess some things. Maybe you need to seek forgiveness. Maybe you need to go to God in prayer today and say, God, as I've lived in that house of mine, I have not honored my parents. I've not honored them in my speech. I've not honored them in my actions, my behavior. And you need to seek forgiveness of that. Maybe you need to go to a parent at some stage today and say, do you know the way I spoke to you yesterday or in the past week? Do you know the way I acted? That was not right. It wasn't honorable. And it's not how a Christian should live. And seek their forgiveness and seek their grace as well. Maybe you need to do something about that today. And we all need to pray, and you need to pray particularly, because it's difficult to live like this, because we have a sinful nature. And we are weak. But God has given us the Holy Spirit to live transformed lives. And pray that God would fill you with the Holy Spirit and fill you with the fruit of the Spirit that you might live a God-honoring life. But is this only relevant to children and young people? What about older people like myself? I left the family home nearly 20 years ago. I'm married, I have a new family of my own. And that's an important thing about leaving home, particularly in the marriage context as well. And so when I'm doing marriage preparation classes with couples who are getting married here in the church, we have a number of sessions. The first session, we always look at the union of marriage, and we start in the book of Genesis, where it says a man will leave his mother and his father. So he leaves the family home, there's a leaving behind, and then there's a cleaving, there's a union, there's a joining together, there's a start of a new family unit. Does that mean when you get married, you just turn your back on your parents? Does that mean that this commandment becomes null and void? No. Yes, the relationship may have changed greatly, but we still have responsibilities. Still responsibilities to your parents if they are still alive. And I know there are people here and your parents have passed on. But if your parents are still alive, you may have left home, you're still called to honor your parents. How do we show honor to our parents when we have left the family home? We show honor to our parents by showing interest in them, taking interest, visiting them when it's appropriate, not running back every day for your tea. You know, you've left home, you know, you've got to start that new life, but you still don't cut your parents off. Why don't you visit them, speak to them on the phone, keep in touch with them? Listen to your parents. Yeah, you might think I'm a mature adult now. Your parents still have a wisdom and counsel. They've lived longer than you. They have experienced more. Listen to them. Seek their advice. Seek their counsel. Make sure you don't dishonor your parents in your behavior. I think one of the ways often we can dishonor our parents is the way we speak about them. It's not godly. It's not honorable to speak badly about your parents, to criticize them in public, just to joke about them. Teenagers do that. People in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s do that about their parents as well often. Criticize them in public. It's not honorable and it's not respectful. And we need to be careful how we speak. We also honor our parents by caring for them, particularly when they become elderly. And this is a growing issue amongst our congregation. And it's going to become an even bigger issue because people are living longer and longer. It's a huge issue amongst this church. I would say of all the issues, pastoral issues and things speaking into at the moment, this is the biggest issue in our congregation. Many of you are dealing and coping with the demands of and pressures of caring for elderly parents at the moment. Parents who are frail. Dementia is a growing issue and it brings lots of stress and strain and issues, and you need wisdom and grace to handle your parents becoming old. And one of the ways you can honor your parents is by caring and helping for them, helping them in old age. Those people who cared for you in younger days, helping them, caring, looking after them in their old age. And it is a real joy as a pastor to go around and to visit elderly members of our congregation. And how often they say to me, I have a great family. That must be a wonderful thing for an elderly parent to be able to say, I have a great family who care for me, who go out of their way to look after me. That's what we should hear within a church family. We should see practical expressions of love and care for elderly parents. Keep on honoring your parents. Jesus spoke about this. He spoke about this in Matthew chapter 15. Let me read these words. You've got a Bible, you can maybe turn here. Matthew 15 and verse 1. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, came to Jesus and they came to challenge him. Now, these were the people who were set up as the religious leaders of their day. These are the people who should have been acting in a godly way. These are the people who should have been acting in an honorable way. Where does Jesus point the finger at them? What sin does he highlight in their life? They were not honoring their parents. Now, he's not talking to children here. He's talking to grown men. And they're not caring for their elderly parents in the right way. Matthew 15, let's read these words. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. He answered them, and why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he needs not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites, will did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. What's Jesus getting at here? We've got to think context there is very different from the way we live here. Often we live separately from our parents, even when we're growing up. In Bible times, there was an extended family unit. So in the same home, you might have had young children, you'd have adults, you'd have elderly parents and aunts and uncles all living in the same family unit. There wasn't nursing homes, there wasn't special units to care for people and their specific medical needs. And so care would have taken place within the family. There was no money, there was no grants, there was no care set aside for that kind of thing. So if you were an adult of working age, you had that responsibility to care for your elderly parents. You took the financial responsibility of honoring them by caring for them. But what have the Pharisees done here? What is Jesus saying? These Pharisees are going to their parents, well, anything you would have gained from us, the money that we should have spent to support you, it hasn't gone to you. Instead, we have given it to the Lord. It all sounds so spiritual. We haven't used that money because we've given it as an offering to God. How spiritual we are. We've put the Lord even amongst our parents. What does Jesus say about these? You're hypocrites. You've broken the fifth commandment. You're not caring for your elderly parents. You're not treating them, looking after them, taking that responsibility. You honor me with your lips. It all sounds spiritually, but your hearts are rotten. Not a challenge. We honor our parents even in old age. You know, we can come into church, we can honor God with our lips, but if we have no love or care or affection for our parents, if we're ignoring their needs, caring for them, now I'm not saying you bring all your elderly parents into your home, And we live in a different context today, and sometimes, you know, nursing homes and special units are more appropriate and give much more medical help to our parents than we could offer in our own home. I'm not saying that. But we don't just turn our back. We take responsibility. We look after them. Do we care for our parents? Do we honor them in old age as well? We need to think about that. Some of you are struggling with this at the moment. It's a big demand looking after elderly parents as people are living longer and longer, even longer than they would have lived in New Testament times. It's time consuming. It's demanding. Can I encourage you as you care for your elderly parents? God will bless you as you honor your parents in such practical ways. And for the rest of us in the congregation, we know people, we have our friends, you're maybe sitting beside them at the moment who are under the strain of this, of caring for elderly parents. Can you pray for them and pray that they would honor their parents well as they care for them? So parents must be honored. But here's the second point, and that should say number two instead of number one. That's a typing error on the screen. Parents must be honorable. Two sides to the coin. Yes, parents must be honored, but parents must be honorable. The Bible just doesn't focus on the role of children. It also speaks to parents as well. Let me read some words from Ephesians chapter 6. Again, if your Bible's open, it might be very helpful to turn to these words. Ephesians 6, and we're going to read the first four verses. What we have here at the start of chapter 6 is a repetition of the commandment. Paul shows from the New Testament that the commandment given back in Exodus 20 is still relevant, still applicable to us today. But he adds something into it here. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There is a challenge for me as a father. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Sadly, one of the main reasons for family breakdown, for disharmony in our society, is that parents often act in ungodly and sinful ways. Some parents make it easier for their children to dishonor them. Isn't that true? Sadly, it's true. There are many parents who make it easier for their children to dishonor them. And that's a challenge for us who are parents here this morning. Set a godly example to your children. Live in such a way that you make it easier for your children to honor you. Live godly lives. There's lots I could say. I'm going to say a few things this morning, but I want to recommend a book. If you are a parent here, a good Christian book. It's by Paul Tripp. It's called Parenting. And it's called 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family. Paul Tripp is an excellent Christian writer, Joanne's favorite writer, and she would highly recommend this book and the content of it. I encourage you to read that and just to think about some of the things that we're going to, it'll expand a lot of the things we're going to think about here this morning. Now, we thought about children as they honor their parents. I said three things you can give your parents. I want to think now to the parents. I want to speak to you. And three things that you can give your children. Here's the first thing, give your children, as you're honorable to them. Give love. It's part of our role as parents to love our children. And don't just tell them you love them, and I hope you do tell them that you love them. Show them that you love them. Show them in the way you speak to them. Show them in your actions. Show them in the example in the home. If mom and dad are still, if both parents are in the home, show them by your love for your spouse as well. Give them love. And as we give love in the home, we follow the greatest example, our Heavenly Father. Look at these words from Psalm 145. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Love that never wavers. Love that never, ever fails. As parents, that is our example. That is our model. Gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Give them love. Here's the second thing. Give them instruction. That's what it said even in Ephesians 6. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Our role is to teach children how to live. Yes, there's a spiritual aspect. We'll come to that in a moment. But there's also just how to live as human beings, how to live in society and in our world today. And don't just teach them with your words. Again, show them by your example. Huge part of teaching and instruction is discipline. And it's our role, our God-given role, to discipline our children, to correct them when they veer off in the wrong kind of way of life. And why do we do that? Because we love them. Hebrews 12 speaks about the Lord disciplining his children, disciplining believers. And what does it say in Hebrews 12? The Lord disciplines those he loves. We don't want our children to wander off. We want them to live in the right way. And so we discipline our children. We give them instruction out of love. But of course, as Christians, we need to give them spiritual instruction. That's the most important thing they need. What our children need is not good morals. Do you know what they need above good morals? They need a transformation of their heart. They need to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They need to be born again by the Spirit of God. And then Christian living will come not out of some sort of duty, but it will flow out of a changed, transformed heart. You know what we need to give our children as we give them instruction? We need to give them Christ. We need to share Christ and his love and grace and mercy with them. We need to teach them about the cross and the greatest act of obedience when a son was obedient to his father, taking the punishment not for his sin, but for our sins. The times we have broken the commandments, the one who offers us forgiveness and the reconciliation of a broken relationship. Give them Jesus Christ. And as parents, that is our primary responsibility. Yes, it's great on Sunday morning, our kids drift off into CB Kids. But that's to supplement what we are teaching our children. We have the primary responsibility to give them in spiritual instruction. And here's the third thing. Give them love, give them instruction. Same as the children, give them grace. Like us, our children mess up. They need correction, but they also need grace and they need encouragement. Ephesians 6 says, don't provoke your children to anger. Do you know what we need? We need godly homes. We need homes that are marked by grace, that are marked by mercy, that are marked by forgiveness. Give them grace. Give them grace in the way you handle them. Don't be that person who's just always strict, coming down upon them. Show them the gospel, that you're like your Heavenly Father. Gracious, abounding in love. Give them grace. Be willing to seek their forgiveness as well. When you mess up, as we always do, say to your children, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have acted in that way. Seek their forgiveness. Some of you think, whoa, that's a sign of weakness. No, that's not a sign of weakness. You know what that is? Spiritual maturity. That you go to them and say, do you know what? I was wrong. That will teach your children so much. What will it show them? It'll show them the gospel. It's a picture of the gospel. It's a picture of grace. Spiritual maturity to say, I've messed up. Seek their forgiveness and teach them what forgiveness looks like and what grace looks like in the home as well. Perhaps you've been challenged as a parent here this morning. No, I have been. Perhaps you've seen your feelings. Perhaps you have not been honourable in the home. Today you need to confess that, as I've said. Maybe you need to go and speak to your child and say, you know the way I spoke to you or did this in the past week, the way I've neglected you, will you forgive me? Seek forgiveness from your child. Seek forgiveness from God. Confess your sins. And then, like I said to the children and young people, seek the Spirit's help. We are weak. And we need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. We need his wisdom to live as godly, honorable parents in our home. Now, sadly for some, this is a difficult topic I'm dealing with here this morning. And it's a difficult topic for you because your parents have not been honorable. Perhaps as you think about your parents here this morning, your parents are people maybe who were absent from your lives as you grew up, or they're even absent from your lives at the moment. Maybe your parents were neglectful to you. Perhaps your parents were abusive to you, either physically or abusive to you verbally. The mention of fathers and mothers brings hurt to you this morning. It may bring pain and it may bring anguish. It's hard to honor someone who had a lack of love for you. And so this is a, realize this is a sensitive subject, a difficult subject for some sitting in front of you. Sadly, there are many sad stories. We live in a broken, fallen world. We also have parents here this morning who are experiencing pain. Parents, yes, you might acknowledge, maybe you weren't perfect, but you tried to bring your children up in a good and a godly way, and yet your children have rejected and abandoned you. And as you think about this dynamic between parents and children, it's painful here this morning. We need to acknowledge that as a church family, and as a church family, we need to offer compassion to hurting people. Family breakdown is a huge, huge issue. And it's a huge issue which has wide implications for relationships between people. And this morning, if that is your situation, can I encourage you? Can I encourage you to look to the Lord? Look to one who is a perfect heavenly Father. Let me show you these words from Psalm 27. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Aren't those beautiful words? Relationships here on earth aren't always perfect and often far from it. But we have a perfect heavenly Father. And I know that mightn't change the dynamic, human dynamic here on earth. But where do you go? Where do you run when there's ache and pain in your mind and your heart? You run to one who will take you in. Run to a heavenly Father. Look to him, one who is loving and gracious, one who's constant. What does the verse say in our coffee area? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes and he's always dependable. What else does the Bible say? Familiar words, but you need the comfort of familiar words. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so if you're struggling this morning, look to your heavenly Father. Who else do you need to look to? You need to constantly look to a son, Jesus Christ. May your life be defined not by your past, not by your pain, not by your hurts, not by your broken relationships, but may your life this morning be defined by who you are in Christ Jesus. That in Christ Jesus this morning you are loved, that in Christ Jesus you have been forgiven if you're trusting in him, and you have been accepted. You are a child of God, part of his family. And although you've experienced bitterness, you've experienced pain and sin, may that not fester within your heart. May it not sour your spirit and spoil your relationships with others. But instead, may you be defined by who you are in Christ Jesus. You're a child of the perfect Father, loved, forgiven, accepted. May you look to the Son and for the grace and the comfort and the forgiveness that he brings. So you look to the Father, you look to the Son, but let's look to the Holy Spirit as well, that he might fill you and he might help you to live a life like Jesus Christ. And although you've experienced pain, pray you be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you might start to display the fruit of the Spirit. So when people are filled by the Spirit, we start to see that being expressed in their life. What is the fruit? Well, let's go to these familiar words in Galatians 5. As we look to the Spirit, as we pray that the Spirit would fill us, make us more like Christ, here's what we start to see in the life of a believer. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, and it's joy, and it's peace, and it's patience, and it's kindness. It's goodness, and it's faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And so from a human point of view, your life should be filled with bitterness, and a sour spirit, and hatred, and resentment. But as Christ does a work in you, and as the Holy Spirit works in you, may that be replaced by what only God can do in the life of broken people. Love, and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And let's be honest, this is relevant for all of us, isn't it? We're all engaged in relationships with other people. And if you're a Christian here this morning, all of our relationships should be marked by the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You want to live honorable lives? You want to honor other people? Every single one of us needs to look to the Father who's loving, gracious, and merciful. All of us need to look and trust the Son, the obedient Son, Jesus Christ, who was obedient unto death. Johnny read those words from Philippians 2 earlier in our service. He humbled himself. Jesus was obedient to the Father, and it took him to the cross. And he died not for his sin, but he died for our brokenness, to change us and to forgive us and to make us new. So we all need to look to the Son. And every one of us, in each of our relationships, we need to look to the Spirit to fill us, to enable us to display this fruit in our lives, that we might live godly lives, that we might live obedient lives and have godly relationships with other people. So no matter what age you are this morning, no matter what your circumstances you're in, let's all look to God the Father, let's all look to God the Son, and let's all look to God the Holy Spirit as well. Let's join our hearts together as we pray about these issues. Dear Father, we want to praise you this morning. You are a loving Father, that you're gracious. You're full of kindness and mercy, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. We thank you for your love that sent Jesus Christ into this world. We thank you that the Son, Jesus Christ, was obedient to the Father, obedient even to the point of death, dying for our sin, for our brokenness, for our damaged relationships. And so we pray that each one of us would look to the Son for forgiveness, for the acceptance that comes through knowing Christ, for the forgiveness. And we pray now, as we are forgiven people, we might live as your children, that we are loving and gracious, that we are forgiving to others and people full of grace. We pray for the work of God the Holy Spirit in each of our lives. Fill us with your Spirit, because we are weak and we are frail. And so help us to live God-honoring lives. Lives that are marked with this love and joy and peace, kindness, patience, and all the fruits that come from knowing Christ Jesus and the Spirit dwelling within us. We pray for our children and our young people. Help them to honor their parents, to give them respect, to give them thanks, and to give them grace. We pray for those of us who have left home. Help us to still honor our parents. Help us to honor them the way we speak about them, the time we invest in them, and help us to care for our parents as they become elderly, and give us the grace and strength to do that. And we pray for all of us. Help us to live honorable lives. For those who are parents here this morning with that difficult job, may you help us. Help us to love our children. Help us to teach our children. Help us to teach them great spiritual truths. Help us to give them Christ. And help us to give them grace. Bless us, we pray. Equip us to live for you. And we pray all these things in the mighty name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.